Welcome to the LGBTQ Community Show. I'm Andrew Ross, your host, and I'm so excited. This is our inaugural show on WPKN 89.5 FM and streaming worldwide at WPKN.org and on both of our Android and Apple apps at WPKN Live. So we're very excited to be at this show, and I'm truly excited to have my guest, Anthony Crissy, Executive Director of Triangle Community Center in Norwalk. And what I wanted to do was just start the show, first of all, thanking Steve DiCostanza for giving us the green light for the show. And I've been a volunteer at WPKN for some years. Also, I've been a volunteer at Triangle Community Center since 2014. So how did this show come about? Well, I was volunteering. I was a group member. It was the Bisexuals and Allies group which attracted me to Triangle Community Center. I was questioning, searching for my identity. And Triangle Community Center offered a resource for me. And then, next thing you know, June came along and the Pride Festival came up. So I knew some restaurants that actually were food trucks. One was the Pizza Bus. And so somebody had contacted him, Joe Federici. But I knew the guy, and he came to speak to me at my office. And then he said, Andy, we think of going to the Pride Festival. What do you think? I said, oh, yeah, a great time. Bring your bus over and blah, blah. So we talked it up, and sure enough, Nikos showed up with the pizza bus at the first Pride. And I was so excited to see him pulling in there that I was like, wow, this is a big deal. And I was there helping, moving chairs, setting up. And so I just started posting everything to Facebook. And in our community, it's like, who comes out when or how do they do it? I just started posting on Facebook. I didn't care. I'm a marketing and advertising guy. I just started posting everything. So, I mean, I'm out. So, whatever. Now, it was a great Pride. Beautiful day. Everything was fantastic. So, then the next year, we asked Steve DiCostanza, GM here at WPKN, can we get a WPKN tent here at the Pride Festival? Of course, he greenlighted that. And then he gave us, with a music background, a full one-minute PSA of the entire Pride thing. It was a great PSA promoting the event. And then we had the tent. And then I think that we really decorated it well, maybe not, but it was a great Pride also. And then the next one, we had a brand new WPKN tent, and my friend Bonna decorated the entire thing in all these nice colors, and we had the great festival. So later, I started volunteering at Triangle in between careers, Triangle Community Center. Anthony welcomed me in, of course. And then I started volunteering at WPKN one day a week, helping Steve out. So then we started talking, what show would you like to do, Andrew, if you had a chance to do a show? And I said right away, I want to do an LGBTQ community show because I'm so excited about our community. I'm so excited about how we can reach out to other people. And I was kind of trained in D.C. At Georgetown by the Jesuits about how to be a social justice activist and advocate, working with the homeless, working with a soup kitchen, giving people food every day. And my church was like a real reach-out church, Dorothy Day Catholic Workers, social justice advocates, sojourners, protesters at the Pentagon, this and that. So when I came back to Connecticut, I thought, oh, there probably isn't much discrimination up here. But, oh, yes, I found out there is quite a bit up here. So we do need social justice. We do need advocacy. And we do need groups such as Anthony's Triangle Community Center and the ones in New Haven and Hartford and North Fork of Long Island, the Loft in White Plains, New York, to help everybody in our community, because our community is discriminated against. And be it at a job or whatever, you know, if you walk into your job, if you walk into school and you're discriminated against because your identity, this is wrong. And luckily the state of Connecticut has laws which are protect us. And I'll just take a quick little thing. It won't be the dramatic side of what happened to me at work. I went into a job. I was dressing in my clothing, which tends to be more female identity. I tried to tone it back a bit for work and this and that. And I was called, I was called a faggot right away at work. And so I just documented this. I wasn't sure what to do. And they tried to threaten to kick me out of the dealership and this and that. And so the bottom line is I got fired. Okay. And they said I didn't sell enough cars. Look, I sold $200,000 worth of cars. I did sell a lot. I'm a great salesperson. But so what does someone do if you're in the LGBT community and you are discriminated at your job? Well, what you do is there's a couple lawyers that I have contacted. I went to Triangle Community Center and I found business card of a lawyer. It turns out he didn't do this type of work, but he went to the Bar Association in Connecticut, found a good employment lawyer for me, and I got to apply to use this lawyer. You have to apply to use lawyers nowadays. I also got another one through researching a magazine on top 100 lawyers. Turns out that what you can do is go to Connecticut's CHARO, Connecticut Human Rights Organization. It's in Bridgeport, and there's locations all around the state, but it's actually right near our station. But CHARO, you can Google that, Connecticut Human Rights Organization, and it's free. As long as you've documented what type of discrimination you had, what you faced, if you were fired or not, you can go to them. They'll take your case, and they'll not only file it under the federal EEOC statutes, they'll file it under the state and local ones. So here's what's happened. If you're discriminated against in a job thing and you lost your job, go to CHARO, and they'll do it for free, and they're very accommodating, very open, and very, I owe it to them because they're helping me out right now. My case is before them. So much ado about me. I wanted to just introduce Anthony. He's one of the greatest guys in the world, really, where they run this center. And it's like I've told Anthony many times, I could do nothing what I do without you guys. So they've given me the faith and the courage and the, help to just be who I am and express my identity in any way I am. So with that, Anthony, welcome.
Thanks so much, Andy. Thanks for having me on today. And thank you to Steve and WPKN for starting this new show. I think it's wonderful.
Good. So what I was going to do was maybe go into, there's a couple things that were like recent news in our community. And they're the really most exciting things I've experienced outside of Pride. Okay. And what was it? It was Pride. So in the town of Bethel, there was a couple middle school girls. I'm going to let Anthony fill in some of the gaps for me on how this evolved. But the way I know it, a couple young women were given the assignment, how do you connect with the community? And they started writing this paper about, let's have a Pride festival. So it was like, whoa, their mother really took the ball in her hands and just said, hey, let's go do it. And all of a sudden, there was a Pride festival, and we got there a little bit late, but it's a beautiful day. Vendors, food trucks, a 500-person parade march down the center of Bethel, and then vendors all over this big green and everything. So it was an incredible event, and it just happened this past Saturday.
Sunday.
Sorry about that. My weekend is gone. Anyway, Anthony, do you know how that happened and how that evolved or didn't?
Yeah, well, it was really an incredible event, and I unfortunately couldn't be there. I was up in Hartford at a fundraiser for GLAAD, which is the LGBTQ defenders and advocacy based out of Boston. But no, the Bethel event was just really kind of an incredible story. These two middle school girls got this assignment to write about a community, and they chose the LGBTQ community. And they were so kind of moved by some of the research they did and what they learned through their assignment that they wanted to do something more to help the community. And so they came up with this idea of organizing a Pride parade in Bethel, which is, it's a pretty intimidating thing, right? Just the idea of organizing a parade is a lot of work. And to do it in a place like Bethel, Connecticut, where it's never been done before, and, there seems to still be a little bit of a perception that parts of more suburban areas of the state, parts of northern Fairfield County, just aren't as, welcoming, or they don't have as much going on, or there's not as much of a LGBT community that's there. And it kind of just broke down all those misconceptions about Bethel and northern Fairfield County. And, it was just absolutely lovely. TCC, we've been doing a lot more events and programs in Danbury and Bethel in the last year and a half, and the community there has just been incredible, the response we've gotten to that, how many people have come out for these events and told us, they want to see more of it and how much they really appreciate it. I know, Andy, you can talk about the impact it had when Triangles, the long-standing historical LGBTQ bar that was based in Danbury, closed down. It was probably about 2 years ago now, I think, right? And it's kind of left a bit of a void in the community. But so I think events like what happened in Bethel on Sunday and some of the programs we've been able to do up there through Triangle Community Center are trying to help build community and start to fill that void a little bit.
Fantastic. Yeah. That you mentioned Triangles, the restaurant bar was, anyway, I guess it was either technically Ridgefield or Danbury. You drove up Route 7 and there it was on the right-hand side with a nice rainbow flag and everything. And we used to always go up there, and this woman named Tiffany, who I think is out of New York, had these gorgeous, called Tiffany Gorgeous parties, where everybody in the transgender community can go and feel one and safe. And basically, you would go and dance, and there were sometimes shows and entertainment, and I really commended them for being there. And as at the point of was a restaurant owner myself, they were just taking cash. So sometimes these credit card processors say, okay, no more credit cards. You know, you could kind of tell something might have been happening with their business, that it was going down. But we supported it so well with our Tiffany Gorgeous, the transgender parties. So one day, it was the biggest snowy day of the year, and me and my friend drove from Derby, Connecticut, down in a snowstorm. She really wanted to go out. I'm like, okay, I'll go. We dressed up, and then we went there, and we got there for the last dance, the last song. And so they played an extra one for us, but then we're outside brushing off our car with the snow, and the shot girl came up and said, yeah, this is the last night. And we go, what? We just got here. We then drove down to B Lounge in Valhalla, got there at 4 a.m. and had to stay in a hotel after they had closed. But historically, Triangles really helped a lot of people, because up in that way where you say LGBT identity and access, there wasn't much. Where could they go? So now that that void has been there, this Bethel Pride, you're right, did take over. And with the outpouring, I mean, if you talk to the organizer, the mom,
Alexis, I believe her name.
Alexis, yeah, great. She was so excited. She's still excited now. I invited her to come on to do this as like a recap, but I think she was like a little busy at work or something, but it was so good and so excited. Now what happens with Pride, the events will move on, and the next year it might go to 2 days. Maybe they'll have a night at a restaurant before, or they'll have some speakers come in on social justice issues. Then what's happening with like our Pride in the Park in Norwalk, it's almost like a Pride 3 days or 4 days. It could, like a Pride week. And I think New York is like a Pride week with its dances, parties, but also like social justice speakers and activities. As these prides grow, they become more like 3 days or a week. So I'm looking forward to that coming up with. So any more about Bethel?
Well, I do. You know, a lot of people mix up Triangle Community Center and Triangles the bar.
You're exactly right.
And I just do want to state it for our audience, because it might be confusing, that those are two separate places. There was Triangles the bar, which was based in Danbury for a long time and served as a great social outlet for our community, that recently closed 2 years ago. But then there's also Triangle Community Center, which is a social service agency based in Norwalk, Connecticut, which has been there since 1990. So that's 27 years old as well. So anyway, just that point of clarification.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So let's go to Triangle. You're the executive director, and let's start with just like a little history of it, because I remember back in the day there was a little room over by a couple of these restaurants. And how did you evolve? And I think Mid-Fairfield's AIDS Project was like next door. How was that, and how did you evolve to today?
Yeah, oh, great question, Andrew. Well, TCC was founded in 1990, right after a bill was passed in the Connecticut State House that outlawed discrimination against gay, lesbian, and bisexual people. Basically outlawed discrimination based on sexual orientation. So that happened in 1990. The law was implemented in 1991. But we had a group of activists at the time who were very involved in the community and a number of different groups who got together and said, hey, you know, what's next? And they decided that what was next was starting a community center for Fairfield County. All of these activists were based in Fairfield County. So they chose Norwalk as being a kind of a central location on the coast of Fairfield County, where most of the population is, as the place to start it. And it literally was a hole in the wall at first. In fact, the first space that the center tried to lease out, they were denied a lease because it was an LGBT organization. So the center, even when it first was started in 1990, faced discrimination itself. Luckily, we found a place. I wasn't involved at this time, obviously, but luckily the founders found a place that was willing to rent to them, and the center was established, and it remained a host facility for programs and drop-in groups and services dedicated to Fairfield County's LGBTQ community until 1993. I believe we had 3 or 4 different locations in that time, and hundreds of volunteers who were involved in fundraising and keeping the center open and paying the utilities and the rent every month. Just a tremendous amount of work on the backs of these volunteers for 23 years to keep this resource around for our community. And that's when, in 2013, that's when we started our partnership with Circle Care Center in Norwalk, which is just another wonderful resource for the community, offering primary care physician and specializing in the diagnosis and treatment of STDs, including caring for the LGBTQ community as a primary care facility, as well as caring for people with HIV living in Fairfield County or greater Fairfield County. So this wonderful clinic opened in 2012, and we hooked up with them in 2013, and they gave us our first grant to hire a staff person, which was the first time in the center's history that it was able to have a full-time staff person and not be all volunteer. So that was a big catalyst for us, and 3.5 years later, we're still working very closely with Circle Care Center, but we've been able to expand out our programs and services so much. So now we do case management and direct assistance, and we do housing navigation and social service navigation. We have a new young adult drop-in program that's open 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 1 to 6 p.m. at our location in Norwalk, 618 West Avenue. And it's just, you know, really kind of evolved into this wonderful agency that's really making a big impact, and always has been an even bigger impact now, especially around homelessness and some of the need in our community. And yes, a special shout out to Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project as well, who's provides free walk-in testing. We share a facility with Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project and Circle Care Center right now, so people can come have access to all these wonderful services.
Very good. And I want to just expand a little bit on Triangle. I counted in your brochure there's, and I think you said on the air the other day, 33 different groups. And I got about 32 here. So how did that happen? There are programs and services from health and wellness, peer support, youth, social, recovery, volunteer, and then services. And the one I mentioned was the Bisexuals and Allies of Fairfield County. That's what attracted me to your group. But there's, how did that evolve? You're reaching out in so many different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, so when I started at the center, we had about 20 groups that were meeting at the time. And, you know, honestly, I lose track because it changes almost every day, but we're over 30 now. And I should say that another great thing is that some of those groups are happening here in Bridgeport. We have 2 groups that meet here in Bridgeport now. One is a youth group for high school age kids or LGBTQ teens. And the other is called Coffee Talk, which is a daytime social program for older adults or just anyone who's around during the day and wants to stop by. Both of those programs happen at Center for Family Justice on Fairfield Avenue, which is one of our big partners in Bridgeport. And we have programs that happen in Danbury, too. But so those 33 programs have kind of evolved. Most of them are still volunteer-led, and a lot of them have started because volunteers with great ideas and a lot of passion and dedication to serving our community in Fairfield County have come to us and said, hey, I have a great idea. I want to start a new group for non-binary people. I want to start a new group for bisexual people. I want to start a new trans youth group, you know, whatever it might be. And they've come to us and they said, look, we're willing to dedicate our time to do this. Will you help us get the group off the ground? And, you know, we've always been happy to do that and say, absolutely, you know, let's try it out. If it makes sense, let's try it out. If it fits within our mission and it's really serving our community and filling a need, let's do it. You know, absolutely. We have the space. We have some resources. We can help promote the groups and get them out to the community and make sure folks are aware of the resources that exist. And it's just been really wonderful. Well, some of the groups at the center have been meeting for decades. our outspoken youth group has literally been meeting, I believe, since 1994, so 23 years now. So, it's something that really has evolved over the last 27 years in terms of the services we're able to provide.
Very good. I wanted to just go into that because the thing that really impressed me was your case management. It seems over the years it would evolve was now, Andy, we have a social worker. Now we have, so there was a person you could call up and make an appointment with, and this person will help you with everything, you know, social work, like, am I homeless? Do I need some food? Where to go? Do I need, like, toiletries or this and that? How did that happen?
Yeah, well, so, you know, I went to Circle Care Center in 2014, and I said, look, you know, we've been really grateful for all the generous support you've given us, but there's still this big need in the community. And we have a lot of folks coming to us who are looking for, you know, they're in crisis and they're looking for serious things, right? Whether they're experiencing homelessness or unemployment or even things as crazy as sexual assault or domestic violence or, you know, abuse just from family members, whatever it might be. You know, we had people who were coming to us with really serious needs. And they were coming to TCC because they were scared, right? They didn't know where else to go. They might not have felt comfortable walking into just any social service agency and telling their story. So they came to us and they would tell their story. And, you know, we really, you know, when I started there, I was the only staff person. And folks would come to me and I just wouldn't know what to do. I'm not a social worker. So I'd go on Google, I'd research, and I would try and find the appropriate resources for them, but it just didn't feel right. And so I went to Circle Care Center and I said, hey, you know, do you think you can help us? Again, we really need a social worker at the center who's prepared to help people who are in need when they come to us. And they said, you know, yes, of course, absolutely, we'll do it. So they gave us the funding to start our case management program and hire a full-time social worker. And we're just over 2 years old now, and that program has worked with hundreds of LGBTQ individuals in Fairfield County, making, you know, hundreds and hundreds more referrals to appropriate services and programs. We also have our co-sponsored housing program with Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project in Norwalk, and it's just really incredible because now when someone comes to us and they're in need, whether they're experiencing homelessness or a financial burden or, you know, abuse, we're prepared to help them. And we have a whole team of case managers and social workers now who are ready to meet with them and get them to a better situation.
Perfect. Perfect. And I think that was great, Anthony, because you're helping people to live a full, happy, and healthy life. I just wanted to, if you just joined us, listeners, you're listening to the LGBTQ Community Show, host Andrew Ross, and I've got the Executive Director of Triangle Community Center here, Anthony Crissy. And we're just going over recent news of what's happened in the community here and what's coming forward. What I wanted to do was just ask you, because Triangle now has branched out to Bridgeport, and we always talked about this, Fairfield County's LGBTQ center, but branching out to Bridgeport was a big deal, and it just so happened to be a nice evolvement because we're up here in Bridgeport blasting to 1.5 million people through Hartford and New Haven and Long Island, so the synergy is like perfect here. But the other day I was so excited to be a part of this LGBTQ Empowerment Breakfast. It was last Friday, and this was kind of set up by State Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey, and the other state senator who was there was Senator Tony Wong. So give me some, how did that happen? That's an incredible event, and I think it just gained so much traction for us reaching to the community.
Yeah. Well, it was a wonderful event. And a special shout out to Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey, and of course the Center for Family Justice, who organized the event. And I have to thank Connor Pfeiffer, our director of programs over at the center as well, because this was really his work in putting this together. But it was a wonderful event. You know, we've been working with Center for Family Justice now in a very formal way, and we have a really strong partnership with them that's been going on for over a year. And what that looks like is we have a staff person at Center for Family Justice on Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport every Friday who's there to meet with clients or people that might need help or just have questions in the greater Bridgeport area who aren't able to always make it to Norwalk to meet with someone in person. But we also, as part of our partnership, we also provide training to their staff around LGBTQ cultural competency. And we've actually trained 100% of their staff at Center for Family Justice. And it's a big organization. They have tons of volunteers, tons of staff. So it's taken us over a year to get everyone trained. But it's just wonderful now because they devote so much time and attention to making sure that their organization is a resource for the LGBTQ community, particularly people who have experienced sexual assault or domestic violence. So it's just a wonderful partnership. And CFJ provides training for our staff, too, so that our staff are better prepared to work with survivors of, again, sexual assault or domestic violence as well. So it's just been a great partnership, and so we wanted to do something to really highlight that and help make more people aware of these resources that now exist in Bridgeport and the community here. And so that was the idea of the breakfast, and Representative Kristen McCarthy Vahey was very kind and generous and wanted to lend her name to the event so that it might get more attention and more people would then become aware of the partnership we have there and the programs and services we're providing. And it was a great success. It was a packed house, standing room only, and we just had so many great people from the greater Bridgeport community come out. We had students from Sacred Heart and Fairfield U. We had social workers. We had representatives from other social service agencies. And we had community activists. And we just had some folks who just were genuinely interested in hearing more about what we were doing. So it was a wonderful event.
It was really good. And did we mentioned Amanda, right? The Director of Education.
Oh, yes. Community. A special thank you to Amanda Posilla, who's the director, one of the directors there at Center for Family Justice, and is just our go-to person there. So wonderful.
She was good. She was great. Now, you mentioned earlier, but we'll just reiterate. Over there, at right here in Bridgeport, there's a couple things that go on every week or month, or you mentioned, what are some of the things that are happening, like Coffee Talk, you said one of them.
Right, so both of our Bridgeport groups are just meeting once a month right now. We hope that as attendance picks up, that we would have the groups meet more frequently. So tell your friends about them, because we want to see attendance pick up. We want to have a lot more groups that are meeting every week in Bridgeport. But right now, what we have started is a Coffee Talk, which is a daytime social. It meets on the second Friday of every month from 11 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Center for Family Justice. And then we also have our LGBTQ youth empowerment and social group that we call Outspoken Bridgeport. And that meets on the second Friday, of every month as well, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Center for Family Justice. That's 753 Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport.
Good. And a couple of things I really noticed at Triangle this year were the Lane Giannakos, mm-hmm. with his young people's, and if I say this wrong, just young people's drop-in group. And then I also noticed over here, there's one in Bridgeport as well for ages 13 to 24, a drop-in group for youth.
Right. So
youth.
The group in Bridgeport is our monthly youth group. But so the program, Lane, who's our young adult service coordinator, who just started at the center in January. So Lane's come on to help us build this new program, which is really different than the youth groups we've traditionally had at the center. And the young adult drop-in program, we call it young adult space, or YES. But the young adult drop-in program is a partnership between TCC and the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, actually, the State Department. So we were really lucky to get their support in starting this program. And what that is Monday through Thursday at TCC in Norwalk at 618 West Avenue, soon to be 650 West Avenue, because we just got a new space for this program, which we're really excited about.
Fantastic.
So soon to be at 650 West Avenue in Norwalk, Monday through Thursday, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Any young adult in need, no matter what their challenges are, no matter what their situation is, no matter what their needs are, can come to the center, TCC, 650 West Avenue, and just, you know, hang out. Access to the internet. We have food. We have TV, crafts, games, and they can just kind of hang out and have a safe place to be. but they can also talk to Lane or some of our other case management staff and talk about their situation, maybe what needs they have. And, you know, if they really are someone who's in need and they're in a tough situation, then we can help them and connect them to the appropriate programs and organizations and resources and help them, you know, get to a better place in their lives. So it's a great new program. Every young adult should be aware of it. It's not just for LGBTQ young adults, but any young adult who is looking for services or programs, any kind of need, or just a safe place to be during the day as well.
Very good. You know, and I notice I volunteer at TCC once a week. Lane is an incredibly ingratiating young person. He's really magnanimous, and people, they just want to be there. And, hey, what do you have for us now? And the good thing about this is that when you're young and you don't know and you're questioning or you feel, you know, what is my identity? You know, it's the hardest time of your life. And his center can help, with Anthony's center, with, you know, the help of Lane's drop-in, can really help the youth. Young people, we're talking ages, you know, 13 to 24 in Bridgeport, but also, you know, young people in Norwalk. So what I wanted to do is just give, you know, Lane a shout out because he's doing a good job over there. But how does that now evolve into the bill that was in front of the state legislature, or it is in front of it now? Could you go into that a little bit? Because I think you and Connor and TCC have had some lobbying success with the state representatives in terms of a bill to protect our young people from...
Yes, absolutely. So everyone should know that right now in the Connecticut State House, HB 6695, a bill to ban the practice of conversion therapy on youth in Connecticut, is making its way through the General Assembly. And that's a really incredible thing. This is actually... TCC cannot take the credit for this one. This is actually something that has come about through CT Equality. CT Equality is actually the organization that helped win non-discrimination for our transgender and gender non-conforming communities in 2010. That law took effect in 2011. And, you know, it's an incredible program. It's actually sponsored by Planned Parenthood of Southern New England, which is based in New Haven. But CT Equality is really a coalition of all of the like-minded and LGBTQ organizations and activists and lobbyists in the state. So CT Equality brought us all to the table and said, hey, we want to do this bill. We want to ban conversion therapy in Connecticut. And, you know, TCC, True Colors, Planned Parenthood, all these wonderful organizations jumped behind it, GLSEN Connecticut, and we all said, absolutely, like, what can we do to help? So Triangle Community Center has been kind of leading the lobbying effort in Fairfield County. And yes, even though we're 501c3, I will say that we do a very small amount of lobbying. But it's something it's a responsibility we're actually taking really seriously this year. And we've always taken seriously, but maybe more so now in 2017 with the political climate that exists in our country. Excuse me.
Now, can individuals go to the state house, and is there a hearing? I know there was a hearing. There was a positive hearing. I think there was some good votes on the bill. Can the average individual, while the state legislature is open, go up there and maybe voice, like in a hearing, what their thoughts are on the bill? Or what frame are we in?
There was a public hearing that happened last month. And I don't know of another one that's planned for the near future. But if anyone wants to help, it's really easy. Just find out who your elected officials are in your area, who your state representative is, and who your state senator is, and call them. Call them and let them know how important this is for you that they support this bill. And I will say the majority of representatives in Fairfield County have been wonderful. But if you have any doubt or any question of whether or not yours might be supporting the bill, call them and find out.
I just wanted to say that I used to do this in D.C. at the State House in Annapolis. I lived in Maryland, and there were some bills coming in there with a group I worked with was the Children's Rights Council. And actually, their motto was, the best parent is both parents. So I ended up writing like a 20-page position paper, Xeroxing 30 copies of it, handing it to every representative who was in the room on hearing day. And I actually got in front of the microphone to speak my piece as a single father. So if you do have this passion, which, you know, we do, but if you want to go up and you want to fight and get some advocacy going, it's open. You can do it. And like Anthony says, find out who your representative is and go for it. So we'll take a slight musical break and we'll be right back. Once again, if you just joined us, I'm Andrew Ross, host of the LGBTQ Community Show here on WPKN. This is our inaugural show. We're very excited to have Executive Director of the Triangle Community Center in Norwalk, Anthony Crissy, here. And I've been volunteering with him for some years now, so we're working together on a partnership here. And Steve DeCostanza, the GM of WPKN Radio, has been nice enough to give us a show, a green light to say, hey, we're part of the community. This is the Community Radio Hour. Let's talk to the community and see how we can help everybody with all the issues each day. And I've been so excited about our outreach of Triangle Community Center to Bridgeport with the Center for Family Justice. And it's right in downtown Bridgeport. Anybody who needs some help on a walk-in or a drop-in basis, even today, can go in there and get some help with any of the issues that you're experiencing. So I just wanted to kind of go through a little bit of the triumvirate of West Avenue. There's Triangle Community Center, then you have Circle Care Center, and then you have the Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project. Now, evidently the Circle Care Center, which I don't know that much about, but you're going to fill us in, was a group of doctors, and they then switched their practice to nonprofit, and they serve the LGBTQ community. This is a big deal because who knows what doctor to go to? Here's the place where, Anthony, can you step in a little bit more and just What do they do? Where are they? Put them on the map.
Yeah. So Circle Care Center was actually originally Dr. Gary Blick's medical practice. And Dr. Blick is an HIV/AIDS specialist who's really nationally known and even does work internationally as well in Africa and all over the world. So he was a very well-known HIV/AIDS specialist in the area. And him and his partner, Scott Gretz, who used to run his practice, decided to turn the practice into a nonprofit. And that's how Circle Care Center was created. And so it's a nonprofit medical center now that specializes, again, in the diagnosis and care and treatment of STDs, especially HIV. But it also specializes in the care and treatment of the entire LGBTQ community, including trans healthcare. So Dr. Blick is no longer at the center. He's moved on, but the Circle Care Center now has its new medical director named Dr. David Rubin. And Dr. David Rubin is absolutely wonderful, another HIV/AIDS specialist. But, you know, since coming to the clinic, he's spent a lot of time educating himself about trans healthcare and the greater LGBTQ community and how to meet the needs of all the clients that TCC refers downstairs to Circle Care Center. And all the clients, Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project refers there as well. So it's just been a wonderful partnership, and it's really evolved into such a great resource for our community that simply just didn't exist 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
So if I'm in our community and I have an issue with medical health, do I call? Do I make an appointment? Do I drop in? How do we approach Circle Care Center and their pharmacy as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can Google Circle Care Center. I believe it's their website is, let's see here, it's whcccc.org. So visit their website or look them up on Google and just give them a call. Tell them TCC sent you there. But, you know, a lot of people just don't realize why the LGBTQ community or people living with HIV, you know, need a special doctor. And, I mean, maybe it's more obvious for people living with HIV, right? You have this medical condition, you need someone who really understands it and is a specialist in treating it. But what about if you're just LGBTQ, right? What if you're just a gay cisgender man, as in a gay man who's not transgender? You know, do you really need to go to a special doctor for that? Well, actually, I would say yes. Yes, you do. You need to make sure that the doctor you're going to is what we call LGBTQ competent. What does that mean? It means that your doctor understands the community and understands the health disparities that exist. If you're a gay man, you're at higher risk of certain types of cancer and heart disease and obesity and, you know, a ton of different health-related conditions that are related to, including mental health illness, that are related to the stress and anxiety LGBTQ people experience because of stigma and discrimination. So if you have a good doctor who is really familiar with the LGBTQ community, they're going to be doing tests that a normal doctor wouldn't do on a person of the same age or demographics unless they knew they were LGBTQ. And so that's really important. So if you're an LGBTQ person and you're going to a doctor and you're not out to your doctor and they don't know about your sexual orientation or your gender identity, it's really important that you either have that conversation with your doctor or you find a doctor that you're comfortable having that conversation with and being open and out when you go to your doctor.
Very good. And I think when I met Dr. Rubin at your open house, Triangle had an open house with all three groups. It was Triangle Community Center, Circle Care Center, and Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project. And I had a conversation with Dr. Rubin. He said, well, the big thing is we need... people don't know we're out here. We need to be put on the map. So I was like, oh boy, good, perfect. This show will help to put them on the map and let people know. If you do have medical issues and you want to speak, and it's all in confidence, of course, but these are the specialists to try and go to, and I feel very comfortable referring them. There's also a pharmacy where you can get any type of medications that you need there. And accepts insurance or
yes,
helps you if you don't.
It's a nonprofit pharmacy. It's also part of Circle Care Center. And because it's a nonprofit pharmacy, they can get prescriptions at a discounted rate from suppliers. And then they can offer generic name brands or low cost, affordable alternatives to people that are underinsured or are not, do not have health insurance. So they offer a number of assistance programs also through Circle Care Center or assistance. We also provide additional assistance through Triangle Community Center or Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project. But even if you're someone who doesn't have insurance, if you come to TCC or MFAP or Circle Care Center, you know, we can help you address that. We can help get you on an insurance plan that's affordable for you. The Affordable Care Act has not gone away yet. Despite all the talk, it still exists and it's still going strong here in Connecticut. And if you are uninsured or you're avoiding seeking medical treatment because you're afraid of costs, come to us, talk to us about it, and let us help you figure that out.
Very good. Fantastic. So the other part of the triumvirate, which I call it over there, is Mid-Fairfield's AIDS Project. And when I came back from D.C. To Connecticut, I was selling for a dental practice, a medical, and I walked in the door and there was MFAP on the right-hand side and TCC on the left-hand side. So how, now that we've moved to the new building and we're there, how, what does one do? What will, say I need an HIV test. Am I going to MFAP? Am I going to Circle Care? What? How do I approach you?
Well, the great thing is you can go to any doctor to get tested for HIV. But usually then you have, you know, there's a cost associated with that. You might need insurance or something. But the great thing about Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project is that they provide free walk-in testing all day, every day, from 9 to 5 p.m. So, no, not on the weekends, I have to be fair to them. They're not open on the weekends. But Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m., free walk-in testing at Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project, our same facility, 618 West Avenue. And Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project does so much more than just testing. They also provide so many services for people living with HIV in the greater Norwalk area, including housing. They have a wonderful food pantry. They also do financial assistance. They do medical case management. So if you're someone living with HIV and you're having a hard time managing all the, your doctor's visits and prescriptions and treatment plan, you can go to Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project. They have staff and they're there to help you do that. They have a nutritionist. They have a counseling program. They have a substance abuse counselor on staff now. And they do a ton of housing assistance as well, all for people living with HIV in the area. We actually started our case management program because we wanted to do what Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project is doing, but we wanted to do that for people who don't qualify for their services in the LGBTQ community. So Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project is so much for people living with HIV, but if you're LGBTQ, if you're a transgender person or gay or lesbian or bisexual or whatever, and you are not HIV positive, but still experiencing homelessness or discrimination or unemployment or whatever it might be and need similar or have similar needs and need similar assistance, you can come to TCC now, and we're trying to do just as good as MFAP has always done in providing that assistance to our clients.
Very good, very good. And I wanted to give a quick shout out to Max Cisneros. He's the HIV testing supervisor and volunteer coordinator and social media director at Mid-Fairfield AIDS Project. And a couple of things that Max had wanted me to mention today was there's a Neighborhood Assistance Act, and he's thanking that. They've been awarded $100,000 in tax credits. So any corporation with a Connecticut tax burden can pay MFAP instead of the state. And in addition, they can claim it as a donation on their federal return. I'm not hooking for them, but this is a big deal that Max had said, look, if you're, I had a business, I owed money on the taxes because we were having the trouble time in the depression, the recession of 08, 09, and I paid the IRS. But if you want to pay 501c3, there's now something called the Neighborhood Assistance Act, and Google this, and it allows tax credits to be paid in a little different way. One more thing that Max wanted me to mention was Gay Bingo. It's a kickoff to Norwalk's Pride Week. I'm going to have Anthony talk a little bit more about Pride. A kickoff to Norwalk's Pride Week, our most popular fundraiser, Gay Bingo, a week before Pride in the Park on June 3rd at 6 p.m. It'll be at 6 Mott Avenue in Norwalk. Big deal. So that is it for the MFAP. And just as I re-mentioned Pride again, did you want to go over, Anthony? We have a few minutes left. about Pride and Pride Week coming up for Pride in the Park.
Yes, of course I do. Well, the plans are still coming together, but what we know for sure is that we're going to be having one heck of a big, fun Pride Festival, Pride in the Park, at Matthews Park in Norwalk, Connecticut on June 10th from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. And actually, the intro music you heard when the show was starting was Miss Crystal Waters, the 1990s diva, who's going to be performing at Pride in the Park this year. We have a number of other great performers, including Trixie Mattel from RuPaul's Drag Race, and a hilarious lesbian comedian from L.A., Julie Goldman. And I should say we're working with Sky Casper, who's a great entertainment producer in the area, who's helping us get all of our entertainment on board this year. Circle Care Center, our friends there, of course, are a major sponsor of the event. Again, they're our presenting sponsor again this year for the fourth year in a row. We have so many wonderful corporations, companies in the area who are pitching in to help support the event as well, including Shoff Darby Insurance Company, TD Bank, Bank of America. I'm bound to forget someone, so this is dangerous to even try to acknowledge everyone. But we have Indeed has signed on, and Pepsi, and Tito's Handmade Vodka, and just all these really, really great companies. That I apologize if I forgot anyone, but there's just so much that goes into this event to make it a success every year. We have more than 60 vendors and food trucks and a beer garden and a VIP area and games, and we have children's activities earlier in the day from 12 to 4 p.m., and then the music kicks off on the stage from 3 p.m., and that goes for 5 hours until 8 p.m. that day. There's also going to be an after party this year with Trixie Mattel at Trevi Lounge in Fairfield from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. on Sunday. And that's going to be a lot of fun. And boy, are we excited about that. There'll be a drag brunch in Fairfield the following day, Sunday, June 11th. And we're actually planning a couple more events that might be coming together for that week. So stay tuned. Check out ctpridecenter.org. That's ctpridecenter.org for more information about any of the things I've mentioned.
Good, and I think tonight is a volunteer event at Triangle, and there's one more on May 3rd, just appreciation for volunteers for Pride.
Yeah, if you want to volunteer for our Pride event, come by the center tonight at 7 p.m. for our first volunteer meeting of the year.
Thank you, Anthony Crissy of Triangle Community Center.
Hello, I'm Anthony Crissy, Executive Director of Triangle Community Center in Norwalk, Connecticut. TCC, Fairfield County's LGBTQ Community Center, has grown in its role as an organization that truly serves our whole community. The LGBTQ community faces higher rates of homelessness, mental health issues, isolation, and discrimination than its peers. TCC is here to connect young and old with a community that cares and truly affirms their identity. Our work doesn't stop there. Each year, TCC welcomes over 1,500 people to Pride in the Park, Fairfield County's LGBTQ Pride Festival. It is our largest event each year and it is one that is a particular source of joy for our community. This year, Pride will be celebrated on Saturday, June 10th at Matthews Park in Norwalk from 12 noon through 8 p.m. Headlining acts include Crystal Waters, Julie Goldman, and Trixie Mattel from RuPaul's Drag Race. Supported by presenting sponsor, Circle Care Center.
Hi, this is Steve DiCostanzo, GM of nonprofit community radio station WPKN 89.5 FM. Now more than ever, community radio is playing a bigger role in the lives of our cities and our communities. Unfortunately, the heart of our community radio station, our transmitter, is old and ailing, and the time has come. We have to replace it. The good news is we've already raised two-thirds of the $75,000 needed. To raise the final $25,000, we have set up a crowdfunding effort through Indiegogo's nonprofit arm called Generosity. With the help of local artist Liz Squalachi, we have thank you gifts of new coffee mugs, t-shirts, and a limited edition of 25 signed and numbered screen prints, all bearing the new design image for our transmitter crowdfunding effort. We call it My Transmitter, My Radio, My Community. How can you help? Obviously, financial contributions will get us to our needed goal, but all of you can help spread the word via social media and your own networks that WPKN needs a new transmitter to help sustain our broadcasting. All the details can be found on our WPKN.org website. From there, you'll find Generosity by Indiegogo, and we hope you will be generous with us when you do.
And Inc. presents Brave New Weed. Author Joe Dolce tells about his exploration into the uncharted world of cannabis. Brave New Weed, this Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. on WPKN.
May Day General Strike, Solidarity and Resistance. On May 1st, immigrants, refugees, workers, women, students, people of faith, members of the LGBTQ community, and others who are resisting the new administration's attacks on all of us will rally and march. Speakers and entertainment on the New Haven Green from noon to 5 p.m., followed by a march to Fairhaven and a rally to protect all of our rights. More information is at General Strike, Solidarity and Resistance on Facebook.
Primero de mayo, huelga general, solidaridad y resistencia. Este primero de mayo, inmigrantes, refugiados, trabajadores, mujeres, estudiantes, gente de fe, miembros de la comunidad LGBTQ y otros en resistencia en contra de los ataques de esta administración.